My name is Troy, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 28th of January, 2010. And that's not a mistake. It's only been about 48 days. So this might be the shortest 15-minute speaker you've had for a while. I have a sponsor, and he has a sponsor as well, and they're very active in the program and a good example for me to follow. My home group is the Friday Night Lights group that was mentioned. It's in Apollo Beach. It's a good meeting, double speaker meeting. Advise if you get a chance to check it out, that it's a good place to go. So how I was, what happened, and how I am today. Irritable, restless, discontent. That pretty much sums it up. A long time before alcohol came into my life. I grew up a military brat, moved around a lot. I just always remember that even from when I was a kid growing up, that I was never satisfied with what was going on with me. Even though I didn't really have a big self-concept of myself, I was always wondering what it'd be like to be somebody else or do something else, be popular, be cool. I'm actually a late bloomer. I didn't start really drinking until later in life. My first experience with alcohol was at 17, was like a one-time thing, and I got so sick afterwards, I said, I'm not going to do this. And I didn't for probably about 5 years. I didn't drink anything until then. That memory, I guess, was enough to keep me away from it. But you know how peer pressure is. A lot of activities are centered around alcohol, and I actually joined the Air Force myself, and so it got to be to the point where if you were going anywhere or doing anything, alcohol was normally involved. So I dabbled in it a little bit, and a funny thing happened. When I started drinking, I realized that, you know, I could talk to people, and I wasn't so self-conscious, and I was becoming somewhat of a different person, and I liked that. But alcohol really wasn't my master at that point. I got married fairly young, had two little boys, and they live with their mother right now. And basically, alcohol really hadn't taken any effect in my life. Like I said, I was in the Air Force, was always trying to achieve, do the best, be the best. And it really wasn't so much that I had to be number one for bragging rights. I didn't want to get achievements or become this or that or to make myself look good. It was more of a failure that I wasn't good enough. And that's kind of been a trademark for my experience. And in my journey in the Air Force, I had a very, very good opportunity where the Air Force was going to pay my way through PA school, physician assistant school. Evidently, it's an expensive program. To get accepted to it is, you know, very hard to do. I didn't take it for granted, but at the same time, thinking about it now, I can see how wonderful opportunity it was. I went into the program, did very well. But the problem was, toward the end of it, some things were going on with my spiritual nature. I had been raised very spiritually in a Christian home, and I was starting to wander away from those things. I was doing things that I would never envision myself doing at that point. And I either to escape that or to be a different person, I started to drink. At that point, I wasn't drinking too much, but it started to become more of an issue. My ex-wife would say things like, are you sure you want to drink? You got class tomorrow, or, you know, you think you should be drinking that much? And I'm always saying, you know, I can handle it. It's no big deal. I actually finished number two in my class of 65 people in the class, which to me was a miracle, one, because it's a very difficult class, but, you know, I started drinking a little bit more as well. From there, I went on to move to Nebraska. It was a very lonely time for me. Was by myself, basically. I had my family with me, but so far as classmates were concerned, I was the only one there. And I found myself waiting to put my kids to bed so I could drink. at that point, I wasn't drinking, you know, before that they went to bed and things like that. But I remember kind of looking forward to that time. And that was a time when, you know, I could, you know, not think about the next day or think about all the things I was learning and so forth. And so I could tell my drinking was progressing because it got to the point where I was drinking at least 5 days out of the seven. Not to the point that I would be soon, but it was definitely starting to take more of a toll. Then I finally graduated PA school and went to start practicing medicine in Arizona. Great place, you know, I had friends, I had a good job, you know, I was respected, but there I was again. I was restless, irritable, and discontent. And I found that my solution to that was to drink, and it started to become a lot more of an issue. At that point, I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic. It's very ironic that as a medical professional, I knew what an alcoholic was. In fact, I would even teach classes on alcohol to young troops coming in, you know, if that maybe had an offense involving alcohol. So I knew I wasn't at that point yet. And then I got the excuse, I guess, that I was looking for because my wife and I got divorced. I kind of went off the deep end at that point. Then my drinking definitely escalated. Was drinking every single day. Didn't have anybody to tell me not to drink or, you know, to at least cut it down. So my drinking started escalating. I think all of us can say, you know, that are here and that say they're alcoholics can say that they did things during their alcohol days that they're not proud of. And I definitely have a lot of those things that I just dumped a whole bunch of those during my step four and five, so I'm thankful for that. But it was definitely not a good time for me in my life so far as me being a good father. And I always showed up at work early, always, you know, did what I had to do because, you know, there again, I didn't want my ego couldn't take that bruising that I wasn't, you know, the best or doing a good job. And then I got stationed here at MacDill Air Force Base, and that's where it really took a turn. I like to say sometimes that, you know, my cucumber turned into a pickle. there's an imaginary line that I think all of us know about that basically you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. And that definitely happened when I moved here to Tampa. And had no reason. I guess I was a little lonely. I was by myself. But, you know, Tampa's beautiful. There's a lot of things to do, a lot of sporting things. I enjoy those very much. But it basically got to the point where any time that I was awake, I am not at work, I was drinking. I can remember barely, but I can remember lots of times where people would reach out to me and say, hey, let's go do this or that, let's go do that. And I knew that there's no way I could drive, you know. It got to the point where I was drinking so much that I was getting physically ill. And like I said before, I could see the signs and symptoms. I knew at that point I was an alcoholic. Could I tell anybody? No, I was scared. You know, that fear that I would be found out, fear that, you know, I needed help. Some fears that, you know, I'm still dealing with today, the need to put my hand out and ask for help. And it got so bad, and some of you might relate to this, where I couldn't go to sleep without alcohol, and I was waking up two or three times a night because I was starting to feel shaky, starting to go through withdrawals already. And then it finally got to the point where I was drinking in the morning. I didn't know what to do because, you know, I had the kind of job where I have people's, you know, their lives in my hands basically. And yet I was still too afraid to ask for help. Well, I guess my higher power had other things in mind for me, because I probably would have ended up hurting someone. So someone found out that they could smell it on my breath that I was drinking, and I got turned in. A lot of things happened in that space of time. I'm actually running out of time. I can't believe it. But to make a long story short, not only did I screw up once, I screwed up twice, where I just couldn't stick with the program, and they kicked me out of the Air Force. And 16 years, you know, I retired at 20. Good job. And I chose alcohol over that. But that wasn't enough to keep me sober. I went to a rehab, got out, was sober for a good amount of time, but dry as a bone. I could have caught fire, you know, by a spark at that point, because I was not going to any meetings, wasn't doing anything spiritual. You know, the higher power of my youth that I had known, I kind of pushed away. And I know that happens a lot when we choose our own ways. So let's just fast forward a little bit to what happened. You know, I wish I had a great story to tell you about my ankle. But the truth is, I was drunk. And I was actually saying I was in the program. I got stuck on my fourth step, and I couldn't, I guess, face myself. There were fears. There was anxiety. I could give you a lot of excuses, but basically I chose drinking over not drinking, living a fruitful, helpful life. And was really bad. I think when I went in the hospital, they asked me, you know, how can you not be in a coma? Because I had consumed so much alcohol. Someone had to come in and actually save me, which I also believe is my higher power. Someone had to come rescue me, or I wouldn't be up here. And I'm very thankful that I had this opportunity to be in front of you and speak today. But laying there in that hospital bed, I mean, there's just nothing that I, in my mind, that is worse, you know? I'm totally dependent. I've got tubes running in me. I'm withdrawing, something that I don't handle very well. Not that many people do, but I just, you know, I'm anxious by nature, and it was literally hell. I mean, I at one point I woke up thinking I died and I'm in hell. At that point, I said to myself, you know what? You are powerless over alcohol. It's not something you say. It's something you are. And if my life isn't unmanageable, then I don't know what is. So at that point, my friends, my sober friends in the program, and my sponsor really came to bat for me, because I was really afraid of the kind of reception I'd get when I came back, you know, even though I wasn't in the program very long. But and it was, you know, basically no judgment. Let's get it right this time. Let's get you through the steps so that you can have that spiritual experience, so that you can be of help to other people. Because, you know, that's really what it's all about. We stop drinking, but with a spiritual awakening, we lose that restless irritability and discontentment. And that's what I've actually been looking for my whole life, you know, and throwing alcohol at it or throwing other things at it. So now I have a sponsor, and we are going through the steps, and I am being as thorough as I can with it, because I don't want to be in this situation again. And I know that as my leg heals and as my job situation gets better and living situation gets better, I really have to be careful, because sometimes it's the hard times that really motivate you to get through it. And when things get easier and better, which they will, I'm very confident that through this program and doing the steps, things will get better. That's when I really have to be on my guard. I'm very thankful that I had this opportunity to speak, and thank you everyone here for listening.